and we don't realize that we're in trouble, even spiritually. Let's pray. God, there seems to be so much darkness in our world, wherever evil seems to triumph over what is good and righteous. But we know that this is not the end of the story. The light you bring into our world dispels the darkness and gives hope both now and in the future. You truly are the light of the world. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is going to come out of John 8, 12 to 30. Ernie's going to put it on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light of life." Then the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid because I know where I've come from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is valid, for it's not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf." Then they said to him, "Where's your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Again he said to them, "I'm going away, and you will search for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come." Then the Jews said, "Is he going to kill himself? Is that what he means by saying, 'Where I'm going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, "You are from below. I'm from above. You're from this world. I am not from this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am he." They said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, "Why do I speak to you at all? I have much to say about you and much to condemn, but the one who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I've heard from him." They did not understand what he was speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak these things as the Father instructed me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what is pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. We're in the season of Lent, which runs approximately 40 days from Ash Wednesday to the Saturday before Easter Sunday. This season of reflection and self-discipline involves practices such as abstaining from certain indulgences, fostering a deeper spiritual connection, and commemorating the sacrifice of Christ. And so we embrace these days as an opportunity to move closer to Jesus in every area of our lives, which will in turn impact every aspect of our lives. So I invite you to create space. James 4:8 says, "Come near to God, and he'll come near to you." Our focus in Lent will be the I Am sayings of Jesus, found in particular in the Gospel of John. Previously, we've looked at Jesus' declaration in John 6, "I am the bread of life." John chapter 7, the celebration of the festival of booths and tabernacles has drawn everyone to Jerusalem. This is one of the three festivals celebrated throughout each year where everyone comes back home, something like our Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. This holiday lasted for 7 days, and it was a time for giving thanks for the harvest and for remembering the Israelites' journey through the wilderness after leaving Egypt. For Israel's 40 years in the wilderness, they lived in makeshift booths, tents, that were easy to pack up and travel with. Maybe you like to go camping in a tent, or your job puts you in places where you need to live in a tent. What was the longest you've ever lived in a tent? Could you imagine 40 years tenting it? This joyful holiday was a recognition of God's salvation, shelter, provision, and trustworthiness. This is the backdrop of why Jesus and disciples are in Jerusalem, with a city swelling in numbers. Some suggest Jerusalem's normal population was around 25,000, and when the festivals were on, they exploded to 2.5 million. Jesus is speaking in the temple, and the religious leaders want him arrested. But the temple police don't do anything, because they've never heard anyone speak like this before. Jesus spoke with an authority from God that the religious leaders did not possess. Then, of course, someone uses the classic line, "Has any prophet or anything good ever come out of Galilee?" We might say, "Has anything good ever come out of Barhead? Or has anything good ever come out of Eastern Canada? Or has anything good ever come out of Newfoundland?" Of course they have, but people can be cynical. John chapter 8 starts with a well-known story that you've heard. A woman is caught in adultery, in which you need two witnesses, and somehow the male caught in adultery escapes any punishment and vanishes. The whole situation is a setup to trap Jesus, and the woman is just collateral damage. Jesus turns everything on his head when he acts with mercy and challenges those who are without sin to cast the first stone. In the end, the woman is the only one left, and Jesus forgives her and tells her to sin no more. So we pick things up right here at John 8:12. With Jesus teaching in the temple again, and Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light of life." The last day of the celebration of Booths and Tabernacles had an incredible display of light. When darkness hit Jerusalem, there was no electricity to give the city light. They had 16 golden bowls with oil and wicks that would light up the whole city. And so it's in the context of light and darkness that Jesus proclaims, "I am the light of the world." Think of what is said in John 1:4-5. "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it." Who is John talking about? Jesus. In Exodus 3:2, God reveals himself to Moses in the wilderness as a burning bush of fire. And then in Exodus 13:21, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and night." For 40 years, God led the children of Israel with his presence by a pillar of fire to give them light. Just as God's light directed the nation of Israel through the darkness, now Jesus has come to guide the people through the darkness, us through the darkness. The religious leaders see where this is going, and they are not happy about it. So in John 8:13, the Pharisees said to Jesus, "You are testifying on your own behalf. Your testimony is not valid. In the court of law, you needed two witnesses for something to be verified, like being caught in adultery that happened in the start of John 8. In Deuteronomy 9:15, it says, "You must not convict anyone of a crime on the testimony of only one witness. The facts of the case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." So Jesus responds to this in John 8:14, saying, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid because I know where I come from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going." Where is Jesus from? Heaven. Where is he going back? Heaven. John 8:15, "You judge by human standards. I judge no one." Jesus is saying, stop judging people by the appearance, but rather by what is right. Jesus' words were right, and his judgments were right. How the religious leaders attempted to use the woman caught in adultery even though they had two witnesses. It was for their own human benefit. And it was the appearance of evil in every way. Contrast the woman caught in adultery and how the Pharisees dealt with it compared to how Jesus responds. He comparing their hypocrisy of the religious leaders. And he extended mercy and forgiveness. Then in John 8:16-18, Jesus speaks of the Heavenly Father also being a witness to the truth. Verse 16, with Jesus saying, even if I do judge, my judgments are valid. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is valid. I testify on my own behalf, and the Father who sent me testifies on my behalf. Verse 19, the religious leaders ask, where's your Father? Jesus answered, you don't know me or my Father. If you knew me, you would also know the Father. Do you remember in John 14:8-11, Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, asked the same question. Philip asked Jesus to show him the Father. And Jesus says this, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know who I am? Anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Do you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe I am in the Father and the Father's in me, or at least believe because of the work you've seen me do. To know Jesus is to know the Heavenly Father. To know the Father is to know Jesus. If the religious leaders could not recognize Jesus as the Son of God, the Messiah, who was right in front of them, there's no way they would recognize who the Heavenly Father was. Verse 20, saying he, being Jesus, while he was teaching in the treasury of the temple, but no one arrested him before his hour had not yet come. Throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it is mentioned that Jesus' hour had not yet come. Until it was time to go to Jerusalem for Jesus' trial and death. And then it says, his time has come. His hour has come. Mark 14:41, Jesus is praying with his disciples in the garden. And they keep falling asleep. And then he says this. When he returned to them the third time, he said, go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But know the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. John 8:21-24, we continue. Jesus begins speaking about his departure from this world, and it's going right over the religious leaders' heads again. Starting in verse 21, again he said to them, I'm going away, and you will search for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. Then the Jews said, is he going to kill himself? Is that what he means by saying, where I'm going, you cannot come? Then Jesus said to them, you're from below, I'm from above. You're from this world, I'm not from this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for you will die in your sins unless you believe that I am. Jesus says, unless they believe I am. Who does Jesus claim to be? God. The only one who could heal our lives and this world from the devastation of sin and allow us to experience complete wholeness. Verse 25, the religious leaders asked Jesus, who are you? Jesus the Messiah did not come to them the way they wanted or expected. They did not know what to do with Jesus because they had no room in their lives for God to move like this. Do we limit or prevent God from working in our lives and world because he's not come in the way we wanted or expected? The last three verses in the text, John 8:28-30. So Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am he, and that I do nothing of my own. But I speak these things as the Father instructed me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what is pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Verse 28, for the third time in the text, Jesus says, I am. By I am, God is saying, I am the one and only God. There is no other God. I am captures the mystery and the majesty of God. How do you explain God? Once Jesus is lifted up on the cross, some will finally recognize that he is God. Matthew 27:54. As Jesus died, there was an earthquake. It says the Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. And they said, this man truly was the Son of God. It would be quite a tragedy for people to live in darkness when they can live in light. Rose Crawford had been blind for 50 years. Then she had an operation in a hospital in Ontario. See, something good can happen from the East, apparently. She said, I can't believe it. As the doctor took the bandages off her eyes, she wept. For the first time in her life, she saw the beauty of the world in form and shape and color. She couldn't believe it. She'd been blind all her life. The amazing thing about her story, however, was that 20 years of her blindness was unnecessary. She didn't know they had the surgical technology that had been developed would have given her sight. Are we unknowingly staying in the darkness when Jesus wants to fill us with his light? In the Gospel of John, light is used 16 times to describe Jesus' ministry. Jesus is always trying to bring things that are in the dark into the light, and he is the true light. The religious leaders wanted to evaluate everything by the letter of the law and often missed the law's intent. Most of us can understand what it's like to experience physical darkness. The power goes out and there's no electricity. You're out camping and it's so dark you can hardly find your way back to your tent. You're home and you shut the lights off at night and go to sleep. But what happens when the power comes back on? When the sun rises and the morning breaks in and it's time to go to work or school? Light, glorious light, fills our lives and the world, and we gain a clarity that we did not have in the darkness. Jesus has come to bring light inside of us and in our spiritual lives. The sin, the shadow, the dark hidden rooms all get exposed by his powerful cleansing and healing light. He is the light of life. Without Jesus, we live in spiritual darkness. 1 John 1:5. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. So if we identify ourselves as followers of Jesus, we should be walking in the light of God's truth in every part of our lives. John the Baptist, the miracles, the scriptures, and God the Father were all witnesses the truth of who Jesus was, I am. Because the religious leaders did not recognize who Jesus was, they did not know the Father either. Every morning, we wake up with the gift of breath. We have a choice to make whether we're going to walk toward Jesus or away from him. There are so many distractions for media, entertainment, philosophy, making money, making lots of money, eating to addictions as we attempt to fill the hole in our souls. As a friend of mine said to me recently, I think I just wasted the last 30 years of my life. It's easy to want things to stay the same, even in our spiritual lives. We know what to expect, and it doesn't demand too much of us, and we can still do the things we really want to do on the side. The religious leaders got caught up in the traditions and the comfort, and the same could be true for each of us. What does the God of the universe call us to? Mark 8:34-37. Then calling the crowd to join his disciple, he said, if any of you want to be my followers, you must give up your own way, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you'll save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We all need the light and life of Jesus in us. Do we want to daily walk in the light of Jesus? Or do we want to stay in the dark where it seems comfortable and demands little change? Let's pray. Jesus, we pray for your light of life to flow through every part of our being. Come and fill every room in the interior of our lives so the darkness must flee. Reveal to us anything that is bringing a resistance to your light and truth so we can deal with it. Jesus, who you are, is exactly what we need. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Lord is my light, and
couple announcements, benediction. We'll sing one more song, then you'll be dismissed. Three things to remember. Thursday is movie night this week. 6:15 if you want popcorn. If you don't want popcorn, it's 6:30. So you can come with that. It's been a great experience thus far. If you want prayer today, there will be somebody in the back corner that will pray for you. And again, there's bread and buns here. Please take something home with you. I've shared this with some of you. You know this. Prior to us moving from Revelstoke to Mooreville, a few months before, I tore my ACL playing ball hockey and had to have surgery. And so the surgeon says, Lewis, we have two choices. We can take ligaments out of your right leg and put them in your left leg, or we can use a cadaver. And I said, use a cadaver. And that leg, it just does weird things sometimes now. But anyway, I moved here, and it was the first week I was here, and I was here on a Saturday morning, and I was practicing my message. And I walked out, and if you've never been in this room with the lights out and the doors closed, it is pitch dark. And so I forgot something on the stage. And so I wander up in the dark, get the stairs, get what I want, and walked right off the stage. And I thought, oh, my word. I made a new resolution right there. I am old enough now, I can turn the light on when I go into a dark room. I'm never going to do that again, and I never have. Have you ever been in a dark, dark room and somebody turned a light on? It's almost, if it's not irritating, it's alarming, the brightness. The light dispels the darkness in all of our lives. What we want to do is invite the light into every part of our being. As you go under the sign of the cross. As Psalm says, his light is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we close? We're going to end with the blessing, and we're going to speak it over you and sing it over you, and you can shoot it right back at us or at each other. You can hold hands and whatever. You don't have to. But yeah, this is a gift to each other, this song, right?